Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In your bulletin is an outline of the sermon. If you take that out, that'll help you track with the points I want to make from this text. And I'm going to talk about somebody that is very important to the story of salvation and especially the Christmas story. I love Christmas cards and some of the great design work that goes into them. And I really appreciate humorous cards at this time of year. And I'd like to share one of them with you that somebody in the congregation gave me this year. But at the top, and I realize this doesn't read that well in a room this size, but it has a scene of the Nativity with baby Jesus in the manger and Mary and Joseph. And Mary has her back to Joseph, who is saying at the top of the card, "How many times do I have to say I'm sorry? I forgot to make reservations at the inn, okay?" Then at the bottom of the card, it says, "The real reason, it was a silent night." That is not the real reason it was a silent night. In fact, one of the reasons this card is so funny is because, in truth, Mary was nothing like this at all. And that's what we see in an incredible way in our text in the person of Mary, the Mother of God. She was as sinful as any one of us, a flawed and broken human being. Yet, in her response to the call of God and the situation presented in front of her, she shows us a tremendous witness of a godly response to handling a challenging situation. She responds to the call of God in humility and wisdom and is held up as an example of the faith that we would be wise to know more about and wise to pattern ourselves after. This is an amazing woman of faith, doesn't get enough respect in our circles, unfortunately, and she really should. And so that's what I want to talk about today, what a great servant of God she was and is, and how we could stand to learn a lot from her. And so let's go to the outline there, and that's your first blank. Mother Mary is a great example of what it means to be a servant of God. I love the way this all plays out. The angel comes to her and tells her what's going to happen, and she has a very real and honest response. She's scared. The angel picks up on this and tells her not to be afraid, and then proceeds to tell her what the plan is. And how did she respond then? By giving in to the pressure of sin and saying, you know, no way, find somebody else to do this, and then run over to her computer and start blasting on Front Street about how rotten her life is and how demanding God is being on her? No. She didn't do any of that. She just got down to the job at hand. And so your next blank, how did Mary respond when given the task by God? By doing it. And that's because of her humility. In all the commentaries I've read in prepping for this sermon, one of the most constant themes that biblical scholars bring out in the discussion of Mary is her humility. And humility is something that is sorely lacking in our culture today. That is not how we go about our lives. And that's so different from her approach. Martin Luther wrote about Mary, and I included this quote from him in your outline. He said, "A good deal of pride lurks behind the outward show of humility we see in the world today. Yet Mary never gave any thought to her own glory or honor. She wasn't even aware of her own humility." And that's what humility before God allows us to do. Take part in one of the greatest honors in the world, and that's being his servant. And so in her humility towards God, she opens herself up and gets down to the business of doing the work of a servant. Maybe you've heard of the book, it's titled None of These Diseases. It's written by a guy named S.I. Macmillan. And in it, he tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, but was very upset when she read the question on the application that asked, "Are you a leader?" Now, being an honest person, she filled it out honestly, and she wrote no, and returned the application and expected the worst. It was to her surprise, a while later, she received a letter from the college that said this, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." And that's similar to the approach we see with Mary in trusting God and his promises. Mary wasn't about her glory. In fact, she knew she was opening herself up to a whole lot of trouble by going through with this plan. But Mary followed God and said to him, "I am your servant. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes me, I will do it." And this is what God wants from us. Next blank. God continues to seek people who have an attitude of service like Mary. People who will pursue obedience, whatever the cost. People who will trust God, even though the outcome seems unsure. God raises people up for his purposes. And God is looking for people who are open enough and humble enough to serve him. And so your next blank, why? Because he wants them to do his work. So we need to ask ourselves, what is God asking me to do for him? And will I respond like Mary did? And I want you to think about that and chew on that. The God of everything wants to use you to do his work and accomplish his plans. He thinks so highly of you that he invites you to be used in his plan. And so how are we going to respond to that? By answering his call or by pushing him away? And that's why Mary is such a great example for us to follow. We see such a willing and enthusiastic servant of God in her qualities and in her persona. The need arises and she responds to the call. And so let's talk about a few of those things, those qualities that made her special. We're going to go on a bit of a run here. So your next blank, Mary had some wonderful qualities. For starters, she was courageous. By agreeing to the plan of God, she was exposing herself to mockery from the culture. And don't forget, she wasn't married, so Joseph might have had a problem or two with all of this getting pregnant business. She was opening herself up for him to lawfully get out of the engagement, but she would rather be right with God than with the world. And I want you to think about that. I want to say that again. She would rather be right with God than with the world. And that's a pretty good example for us. Next blank, she knew her scriptures. Mary's song, which is her response to this text, that comes in the part of Luke after the text we are basing the sermon on today, that contains quotes from scriptures. Her response, which is often credited to her as Mary's song, is really just paraphrasing scripture, because this is Mary referring back to Hannah's song of thankfulness from 1 Samuel. Well, in order to refer back to something or to paraphrase it, you got to know your scripture and be familiar with it to do that. She was. Next blank, she was faithful. Again, she's a wonderful example of what it means to live a life of faith and do what is required of you. Next blank, she was broken and a sinner, but she knew where she was going to get her power from, and that's God. And apart from the message that Jesus Christ died for your sins and through faith in him, you are forgiven, that's the message that I want you to hear and walk out of here with today as we look at her example and her way of following God when called to. Because if you're anything like me, you see an example like this and you think, man, I know who I am. I know my faults and my flaws. I know how less than I am. God can't use me for his work. There's no way he can use somebody like me. And if you think that, well, you're right in one sense. You and I can't do anything by our own power. But here's the great news about our God. He doesn't ask you to do anything for him by your own strength. He gives you the strength and the ability to do what he asks, and he just asks you to be open to letting him use you for his purpose. He will equip you with what you need, and that's all that Mary did. So your next blank, favored, means she was receiving the grace of God. God had a plan for her, and he was blessing her with it. And this is passive language that is being used here in the text. So when it comes to all of this favored by God and grace of God stuff, that passive language tells us something. It's something that is happening to her, and it's something that's happening by another source. It means she is receiving it. So next blanks, grace is found in and through Jesus Christ, not Mary. In fact, everything in the Christmas story has to do with the grace of God shown to the world, including the woman in the text. So salvation from God, that comes through the baby that will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is a gracious action of God upon Mary, who finds favor with God, not because of her works or because she's special, but because of God's grace. And that's the whole story of salvation. It's all about God's grace and sending his son to save us from our sins. And that's why she's part of a plan, part of the plan rather, for God's glory. And her part in the plan is because of God's grace and his power and his strength. And this is the same for all people. Anyone who is a believer is only a believer by the grace of God. And that means if you believe in him, you're favored by God. And you never know what he's going to do with you and how he's going to work through you, what kind of miracles he wants to achieve through you. So next blanks, that's how we find favor with God, by receiving his grace. And nowhere is his grace given to us in a greater way than in the Christ child born of Mary on Christmas. The baby who came to bring grace and life to the world by paying for its sins on the cross. So at this time of year, as we're thinking about being kind to others and giving gifts to people and being maybe a little bit more loving, if you're ever thinking about something you can do for God, this is it. It's nothing you can give him. It's nothing you can really do for him. You just need to receive his grace and make him happy. That's what he wants. And so that's my prayer for us, that we would do these things for God and for his glory and for our neighbors. But understand that it's not us doing them. It's God working through us and giving us the abilities that we don't have to accomplish things we could never accomplish on our own, and do them for his glory. And know that we are part of the greater plan that he has laid out for us and wants us to be a part of. What a gift and honor and privilege that is. I mentioned earlier that I had been studying different commentaries and whatnot for this sermon. And that's what we do for all sermons, is look at all kinds of different theological expertise on the text that we are preaching on. And a lot of times those things are really, really helpful. They always are, actually. But there are some times where the best point about a text and about a situation doesn't come from one of those theological experts, but rather a lay expert. And in this case, the one that hit me right between the eyes is a guy named Mark Lowry. He's a Christian comedian that observed the whole persona of Mary. He actually is very popular for writing a song, or co-writing a song, called Mary, Did You Know? And so this comedic routine that he was doing was sort of based on that. But he was talking about the fact that Mary's silence at the cross always amazed him, because he said if he were being crucified in the middle of town, his mother would have pitched a fit and the entire world would have known about it because of how she was reacting. But Lowry wondered if maybe what made the difference for her was remembering back to that first Christmas and remembering touching his little hands and feet and counting his fingers and toes. And he went on to say, I wonder if Mary realized then that those were the same fingers that helped scoop out the oceans and form the seas. Mary probably counted those little toes. I wonder if she realized that they were the same feet to be worshipped by angels. When Mary kissed her little baby, she wasn't just kissing another baby. She was kissing the face of God with us, Emmanuel, like we heard about last week. 33 years later, she's standing on a hillside watching blood pour from his veins, and she didn't open her mouth. Did she remember what the angel told her, 9 months before he was born? That he wasn't there just to die for us, but that he died for his own mother. The baby boy she had delivered on that first Christmas was now on a cross, delivering her. And so your last blanks, Mary didn't find favor with God because of something she had done. She was blessed because she believed in God to send the Christ to save her from her sins. And that's what finding favor is all about. We find that through God's grace, which is our power to believe. And out of that belief, he gives us the power, the courage, the humility, a servant's heart, and the ability to trust him and his word and do his work. So God bless us to receive his gifts and then live lives of people who have found favor with him through Christ in the work of all that he has done, that we might be humble and open enough to be used for his purposes. God bless it to be so. Amen. Would you please rise for prayer? Now may the peace which passes all of our understanding keep our hearts and minds focused on the one who makes eternal life possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.